I'm Josh Braun, and this is Inside Selling, a podcast about selling without selling your soul, where I explore how you can be a better salesperson through the simple act of being curious and thinking like a buyer, not a seller. Integrity is the most important trait a salesperson can have. That's because of the bad, negative stereotypes people have about salespeople. We've all experienced that bad telemarketing call, the used car salesman, or that mall kiosk person that wants to squirt lotion on your hand. That's why I'm super excited to groove with Ryan O'Hara, the VP of Marketing at LeadIQ, about the importance of having integrity in sales. So Ryan, I want you to start us off with a story of a post that I read that you wrote a couple weeks back that really punched me in the gut and prompted me immediately to contact you and said, we have to talk about this, because I felt your pain and your sincerity coming through the screen. For people that haven't seen it, Ryan, can you just give us the story?
Yeah, so about a week before the holiday, we were making a video, and I was gonna make a video thanking a bunch of people. You're one of the people I was gonna thank, by the way. And I had a clip, you sent me a book like from Disney. In the video, I actually was gonna thank you and thank you for giving me the book and stuff. But I was making a giant end of year thank you wrap up video. I was about midway through, and then I got an email from some guy who sent me an email with the subject line being re:contract. And I saw it and I just was like, huh, I'm about to close a bunch of vendors for the year because it's end of the year. I'll open the email and take a look. And I open it and the guy's writing me just a straight up cold email, templated, no personalization. And it was nothing to do with the contract. He got the open, but I was just like, wow. And let me put it in perspective for a second for people that don't know me. I produced 66 prospecting videos last year that were on prospecting, between that I posted on social out to people with lessons, things we've done that's stupid here, things that we've done that have worked. But everything we've done has had integrity. And I saw this and I just felt like, scrap the thank you video. I'll do it next year for Thanksgiving or something. I'm just going to do a video on this because we're not done yet. And last year I set on a mission to try and tell people you can do sales and be honorable. You can put as much thought into a cold email or cold call as you would as a Super Bowl ad. You're an ad agency.
Yeah, totally. So I agree, you know, integrity is so important in sales because we have to fight against the negative stereotype people have of salespeople. We mentioned the mall kiosk person, the Comcast retention rep that doesn't want you to cancel the internet service, the car salesman, and we're associated, like it or not, with those images. And so we have to work really hard. And when we put re:contract in the subject line, that feeds into that stereotype and hurts all of us, Ryan. I mean, I mean, how did you feel when you saw that and you realized that there was a disconnect? You had been tricked, essentially. And the object is not an open, guys. I mean, the object is not an open. I think you spoke to that gentleman, right? And he was like, I did it because, like, what was his reason?
Yeah, so he had read, it was a sales trick that he read on someone's blog that said that if you put this as a subject, you'll get really good opens. Poor guy, very nice guy, by the way. I called him after. I didn't send him the video right away. I called him and said, hey, just want to let you know, like, if you're doing this, you're teaching people not to open emails from sales reps everywhere. And you're teaching people not to trust sales reps when they call and leave voicemails and stuff. It's not good. And what was your response rate? He told me he didn't have one response for it, except for people saying, take me off your list.
But he got opens.
Yeah. And he apologized and appreciated it. And he actually subscribed to our newsletter, which was kind of cool. But like the point I'm getting at is, I'm not trying to plug that. I'm just saying, like, you can't do gimmicks. If you do gimmicks, you're going to hurt trust for everybody. It doesn't just hurt you and your company. It hurts every future sales job you're going to have.
Totally. It hurts the profession. I want to talk to you about something else that I was going back and forth with someone on LinkedIn. I don't have to remember, you know, mention his name. It doesn't really matter, but he was talking about a technique, a trick. First off, anytime anyone says the word trick, that's automatically a red flag, because sales isn't something you do or trick someone with. It's something you do with someone. We could talk about how to have integrity in later in this podcast, which we're going to get to. But I want to talk about this other trick that people were using and talking about, which is the double tap, which is this idea where you're making a call and then they don't pick up, and then you call again in the hopes that they pick up the phone. And he actually recorded a video of this. And the guy did actually pick up the phone on the double tap, and the guy was freaking pissed.
Yeah. You know, another one that I don't like is a lot of these dialer tools have local dialers, and it's like not genuine at all. I made a new phone number. I use SalesLoft for my prospecting here, but I also use Outreach because we have to integrate with both these guys. When I set up the dialing for both of them, when I'm doing demos or showing people how to use this stuff, I set up a 603 number in New Hampshire, even though it's not a gimmick. Like I'm not prospecting people in New Hampshire because that's where I'm from. I want people. In fact, it's something you can use to relate to talk to your prospect.
Look what Ryan just said. This is super important. You know, all the vendors that are selling local presence always sell it under the pretense of it's going to trick someone, essentially is what they're saying, to pick up the phone. And do you want to start your relationship with a trick?
Right.
Like, you know, because people aren't dumb. They're going to pick up the phone and they're going to notice that you're tricking them because you're dialing from their area code. It just starts the relationship off on a really bad foot. And again, it gets back to integrity. So what I want to talk about now is, you know, how we start to bring integrity into selling. And I want to share a perspective and I want to get your thoughts to this, Ryan. And I think one of the things it starts with is not bringing the assumptive behavior that what you have is what someone needs. I tell this story all the time about my grandma's toaster, and I apologize if you've heard it before, but my grandma had a crappy toaster. Only one side worked. It made light toast and it took forever. I would go over to my grandma's house all the time with a new toaster, two sides, dark toast, faster, new toaster user interface. It was clearly better. It had benefits, but the benefits didn't matter because they didn't matter to my grandma. And I think we call it with a hypothesis that we have about how we think we can help someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that person can be helped right now. Maybe the timing's off. Maybe they're not struggling with that problem. So we'd love to hear your perspective on that with regards to that assumptive sales behavior where objections are something I have to overcome and everybody that I cold call is someone I have to set a meeting with, that energy.
Yeah, the other thing too is I think what's better, and maybe my perspective is a little unorthodox here, but when you're prospecting someone, I think it's more important about trying to relate to them and try and find a way to get in the trench with them and understand their feelings and what they're going through. Not your features, not your benefits. That's not your hook. Your hook is talking to them as a human being and then letting them ask you what you do. We did this cold call blitz about 6 months ago. We were messing around with going through existing event leads that we had got. And every person I called, I lined up something I wanted to talk to them about from looking at them. And it had nothing to do with our product. It was my opener. I just would open with a cold call that would say, "Hey, Gary, I saw that you posted this blog post once about how you guys are using an in-house CRM instead of an external CRM. How's that going?" And we have nothing to do with CRMs, but like, you, right off the bat, I'm not pitching my product. We talked about it. I joked about some stuff that we built in-house here that sucked. Like, we both bitched for a little while, and it was great. We became friends from this conversation. You don't need to necessarily go line up and say, "I have this product." You have to have other interests in that. Worst case scenario, you go and relate to a prospect, you're going to get a friend that will refer business to you, even if they're not a customer.
Well, it's also interesting about that approach, and I've done something similar. What you'll find is eventually something interesting is going to happen when you do what Ryan just suggested. Eventually, the person on the other end of the phone is going to say, "Well, what do you do? Why are you calling?" And now it's a completely different call because now they're leaning forward, right? They're asking you for information rather than you spewing your benefits and features. So I love that idea. And I know people in the audience are going to be saying one thing. Let's talk about it. You know, well, that doesn't scale.
Yeah. Well, you know what does scale? When you have relationships with people. I'll tell you a story that proves this out. When I was working at Dime, I remember I once was cold calling and working with friendfinder.com. They're now like a weird dating porn hookup site. So it wasn't like that at the time. Not a weird dude, just explaining. But we priced back then, this is like 2009, 2010, off of internet traffic. And they were like the fourth largest social network at the time. I had reached out to their CTO and called them and emailed them and stuff and wasn't getting anywhere. And one day I saw that they actually had a blog post about iBeacons and using iBeacon technology. People that don't know what iBeacons are, they're these little devices that like will send push notifications to your phone when you walk into a general area. Like you put them in your restaurant or anywhere. And this guy had written a blog post about it because he thought they were really interesting. And I called him one day and I just said, hey, I've been trying to get in touch with you about Dyne stuff, but more importantly, I read your blog post about Ibeacons. Tell me more about this stuff. I don't know a lot about it. And we chatted for like 10 minutes about Ibeacons. And then at the end of the call, he just said, hey, what do you do? Like, what's Dyne do? And I said, oh, well, we help you with managed DNS. If you guys are tired of doing that stuff in-house like you are, I knew that because I looked at it, we could possibly help you with that stuff so you don't have to think about it anymore.
Now, I really want to talk about this because, guys, this is the thing that's, that Ryan does really well. And this is why I really want to jam on this a little bit, because this isn't a tactic that you're doing to book a meeting. Like, you're not finding this thing just so you can pitch. Ryan, this is what I'm sensing, that you genuinely did and were curious about this article. Like, yeah, you have to have a natural curiosity. You can't fake that because it's going to come through on the call, right? I mean, like, one of the best people that I've ever seen from a curiosity perspective, in addition to you, is, you know, love him or hate him, Howard Stern. When he interviews people, he is really curious about them. Yeah. So, Ryan, I mean, talk a little bit about that. You're a very curious person. Like, when you're making these calls, it's not like you're like, I got to find a sentence in 3 minutes so that I can get to what I want. I mean, you're fine with the call ending with just learning about this thing that you're curious about.
I'll tell you what I like. I think that interesting people know other interesting people. If you're selling to someone that's a decision maker at a company, they're probably a 1%er. And I don't mean in wealth, I mean in interestingness. They didn't climb up the ladder and get to the spot that they're at those companies unless they were really cool and extraordinary. So if you're talking to these people, it's kind of neat to have interesting people that you know. I'm not saying it's like shallow and it matters like who you know, but another example, I have a cool moral of that story that I was telling before. I'll finish after. But one day I reached out to this guy who was starting a website that was in stealth mode, and I saw that the domain registration was from Google. And I called the guy and I was like, hey, I was curious why you registered this domain. Your project looks super sneaky. What's it going to do? And the guy told me that he couldn't tell me what it was, but he worked at Google. And I realized that the guy I was on the phone with is one of the founders of YouTube.
What?
Yeah. Ben Hugh, or I can't remember how to say it. Yeah. But I was talking to that guy on the phone, like just doing a dumb cold call, asking about this project. And he just talked to me for 10 minutes about stuff. And we kept in touch, and it was kind of cool because he left Google and started a venture firm. And anytime that he had a new client that would come in, he'd forward their, when they needed DNS, he'd forward them to me. And it was just cause like, I just was asking, you know what it kind of felt like? It felt like I was in the movie Spotlight, like doing investigative journalism, like asking people this. I just think it's kind of fun to know the stuff. I just want to finish the other story really quick. So that guy from FendFinder that I talked to, he didn't end up turning into a customer. He decided to go with a different vendor, but we kept in touch, and I kept talking to him about Ibeacon stuff over email and stuff over years. One day in the dog day of summer, I went out to get lunch and I came back to my desk and my phone was ringing. And I picked up the phone, and the guy on the phone was like, hey, I'm a friend of Jordan's. That was the guy's name. I heard you're a stand-up guy. He's mentioned that you geek out about Ibeacon stuff. I'm in the same Ibeacon group as him. And I was like, yeah. And you know what he said? He said, we're looking for a DNS provider and I wanted to get more info from you. The guy I was on the phone with was the CTO of Viacom. And wow. Jordan had referred him to me. And for people that don't know, Viacom like owns everything. Like Spike, Nickelodeon, Paramount. And we price per domain. They have millions of domain names that they have. So it was a huge deal. We ended up getting them as a customer, even though I didn't get Jordan because I led with a relationship and Jordan didn't feel like I was going to like go attack him like a shark when the lead came in. So that's like that guy picked me instead of going that way because I was genuine.
So it's a great, yeah. And so practice your curiosity, like talk to a barista, talk to people that are in a mall, like strike up some conversations and stay in it. I don't mean checking your phone and going from one question to the other. Like when I watch Jimmy Fallon, he feels like he's faking it. He's not really in it. He's laughing at weird times. He's going from one question to the other. When I listen to Ryan and when I listen to Howard Stern, there, you know, Howard Stern's leaning forward. He's looking at the person. He's interested. You need to practice your curiosity skills because here's an interesting thing that happens. And Ryan, you probably know this already. I was on a plane a couple months ago and I practiced my curiosity skills sitting next to somebody. We strike up a conversation. I'm asking a bunch of stuff. I'm curious. We're delving. By the time we land, they're sharing with me stuff that is almost like very personal, like as if I've known this person for 10 years. And what happens is dopamine is released when people talk. And it's almost like the onion is being peeled back. The more people talk, the more truth and the more deeper information you end up getting. And so this tactic, not really tactic, but this approach you have of curiosity starts to release those endorphins. It creates an environment where people actually want to have a conversation with you. But again, I want to stress that if your intent is to use this to somehow get the thing, that comes through too. And you end up sounding more like a Jimmy Fallon than like a Howard Stern.
Yeah. One way to look at it too is if you look at your worth and what you're doing professionally, it helps to have social currency. And social currency means you share interesting things. You show off cool things that you think are interesting that you have a common bond with. You talk about things that you're passionate about. Try and surround yourself with other people that are doing the same thing. And if there's an area that you're not familiar with, go jump in and get familiar with it a little bit, because you'll come out on the other side with more friends. You'll know more about it, and you'll have more to talk about on a cold call, on a cold email, on a first call, at a booth, at a trade show, walking up to someone next to someone on a plane. You'll have more interesting things to talk about if you go out there and just learn.
Yeah, I love that. And then Ryan, talk to me also, like the other thing that I wanted to get your perspective on with regards to integrity is I was in a situation a couple months ago where I bought a piece of software and the software didn't work out. And I went to go, the person said, hey, I'll issue a refund and I'll, you know, refund your money, we'll cancel it. But it never happened. Like I never heard back from them. I started the chase, I had to deal with a credit card company. So this idea of like, if you say you're going to do something, and this might seem like blatantly obvious, but oftentimes we say we're going to do things and we don't do those things, especially when the relationship is so fragile because we're a salesperson. Part of integrity is actually holding up your word and doing what you're doing. And I deal with so many companies so many times that don't do that. So the ones that actually stand out and get back to you quickly and, hey, we're on this, they stand out. I don't know if, Ryan, if you have any stories or perspective on this idea of, you know, kind of doing what you say you're going to do.
I love this because it gives me a chance to quote Bill Belichick, who, you know, I'm a Patriots fan. I know everyone here is like, boo. But I remember I once watched the NFL Films thing on Bill Belichick. And one of the things that he says at the end of the documentary is he says, all you have is your name and your reputation. They can take money away from you. Your family members, you'll love them, but you know, they'll eventually perish or pass away. Or I know it sounds really dark actually, but your name and your reputation are all you have. So when you put your name on something and then you don't follow through, that stays with you. And the only time that you can avoid that is if your name is very common, like Steve or John Smith. But online, it's even more difficult now. Like look at what happened with Kevin Hart in the Oscars, for example. Like guy years ago tweeted some stuff that was intolerant and sounded homophobic, and it comes back and hurts his name, and now he's not hosting the Oscars anymore. Like you got to think about yourself and what kind of person you want to be in the future and how you want to be viewed in the future when you do this stuff. So you might do a prospecting gimmick now to get the open on your email. You might call, we're going to make a video of this as a joke, but like you might like call someone and pretend to be someone else or be very vague so that they actually answer the call or get through a gatekeeper. But at the end of the day, you add those things up after several years, you're going to end up having a bad reputation that people don't want to work with.
Totally, totally. So next thing I want to talk about with regards to integrity is when we're actually in sales conversations with people, and we'll just pick one, you know, there's someone says, you know, why should I choose LeadIQ? Why should I choose Josh over, you know, another sales consultant? I think our instinct and maybe things that people have been taught is to start to defend and to start to overcome those things. And when you do that, you're going to trigger that image again of the mall kiosk person. So one of the things I'd like to talk to you, Ryan, about, and I'd like to see how you handle this when someone, and I get this all the time, you know, why should I choose Sales DNA? My first thing that I say is what I call a diffuser. And I got a bunch of these. One of them for that one is that I don't know if you should, I don't know if I'm the right fit. Josh, can you send me some information? Be happy to. Not like I can't, you know, Josh, can you send me some referrals? Hey, my clients are my best sales force. How many do you need? So we could talk a little about this idea that you don't have to fight. And when a prospect starts to say something where you feel like you need to go into that fight mode, that again triggers that non-integrity. So I don't know if you have a perspective on that as well, Ryan.
Yeah, I think one thing you can do too is sometimes I see a lot of reps that get further down the pipeline and they're really afraid to remove the fourth wall sometimes and ask questions because they think they're not going to like the answer to the question. And I think that's where the trust standoff kind of happens. If you catch yourself in a deal and you have a good first phone call with them, you don't. I'll go watch a new hire here and listen to their calls if they do the first call. And I'll be like, hey, all you have to do is say, like, it's okay for you to ask them if the deal is going well, who else should be involved. It's okay. Like, there's fourth wall questions you can ask and explain that it makes it a lot easier for you to do your job because that'll show that you're a human being and you're connecting a human to a human. If you don't ask those questions, your guard is up. And it almost does feel like you're in attack mode. You're just flailing your arms on the way down while you're sinking in the sand.
Totally. Yeah. When you're vulnerable, right? That's another thing to have integrity is when you're vulnerable. There was a YouTube clip a while back with Sheryl Crow singing and she just forgot the words, the song, one of her big songs. And she points the microphone to the audience. She says, I forgot the words. Can you guys help me out? And it made her more likable. So it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to be vulnerable. That's again, it builds up integrity when you're honest and when you're vulnerable and when you don't feel like you have to push back. And sometimes the answer is, hey, you know, Ryan, if all things are equal and there's no difference and this thing's less, dude, I think you should totally do that. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for you to go in. And even also,
I agree completely, by the way. I love the Sheryl Crow example because it's exactly what we like. People like vulnerability. If we're going to the late night conversation, for example, that you brought up earlier, think of how many people tuned in when Conan O'Brien was losing to the Tonight Show.
I know.
Like everybody watched that. Everyone was like, oh, poor Conan. They're going through the process. When he got his show on TBS, people tuned in and talked about it. It's because he was vulnerable. He explained that he was insecure about stuff. He admitted that he was going through a tough time. And those moments that happen are the ones that have the most views on YouTube. They're the ones that people are sharing the most and talking about.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. So another thing is to be vulnerable with people. Another one I want to talk about in terms of integrity is also, and you talk a lot about this, Ryan, I think you're going to love this last section we're going to talk about, which is making people feel good during every interaction you have with them. So I, like you, Ryan, view sales as an experience. We talk about the customer experience, talk about the sales experience. So every opportunity you have to chat with someone or to talk to them is an opportunity to make them smile. So, you know, what can you do to make people smile and feel good? One of the things that I'm doing specifically is I had this idea to start a series called I Teach My Wife Sales. Sure, it teaches some sales content, but really the idea of it is to make me feel more human and to make people like, oh my God, that's his wife. They're in the bedroom. Like, what are they doing? Like, he's in the car, the camera's hidden. Like, that's interesting. And people are smiling. And so that when, to Ryan's point, when I make a call, I say, I'm Josh, the producer of I Teach My Wife Sales. And I have Jenna here. She has a quick question for you. Like, we just did this thing with a prospect. I just was a couple hours ago. And the first thing he was like, oh my God, that I Teach My Wife Sales thing, not because the content was anything earth shattering, but because it was like, made him feel something. I'm like, would you like me to get Jenna? And he's like, oh my God, is she around? And I brought her in here and she's on the camera. It's like, she's a movie star. And then you just get that feeling. And that again, gives you integrity because you're not again associated with that slimy, you know, mulky-ass person.
I remember one thing I'd like to think about, and you know, I like talking about this too, but sometimes when someone's talking to sales and working, or they always say, hey, you want to try and be friends with the people you're working with and stuff. The truth is a lot of the people that you're actually working with, you're their escape. When they're in a meeting with you in a conference room, talking on a Zoom or on the phone with you in a conference room or at their desk, no one's coming around to bug them. Their IM might be blowing up, but they're focused on you. You're their escape. So give them a reward for giving that escape. Connect with them, have a real experience. Like, that's the way I kind of look at it. You got to remember, I think I dropped this last time I was on your podcast, but the average person changes jobs once every 18 months in tech, which means that the first 6 months they don't like their job, or sorry, they're new, they're shy, they're figuring stuff out. The next 6 months they actually can do stuff. In the last 6 months, they're staring down at the bottom right hand or top right of their screen waiting for 5 o'clock every day. When they're on that call with you, give them an experience where they're like, man, I really like talking to this person. Like, even if it's not productive all the time, it's okay for you to just try and make a connection with someone. act like you're in a college dorm room saying hi to someone in the hallway and having a 5 minute stop and chat about something.
Yeah. I mean, I give you guys a great example, a takeaway. So when I sold at Jellyvision, I would always wear these loud socks and I would sit in such a way at meetings where people would be able to see them. And inevitably I became known as the guy that wore these loud, crazy socks. It was something that people looked forward to and they associated me with. When they saw me, they automatically were just looking down at my socks and they would smile. About 6 months ago, I noticed that one of the customers I sold literally 7 years ago had a work anniversary. So I just shot him a, you know, congrats. And about 5 minutes later, he wrote me back, "Hey, Josh, nice to hear from you. Are you still wearing those loud socks?" Now, this is 6 years ago. I don't remember what I sold him. I doubt he remembers what he bought, but he does remember how I made him feel. And part of this being a person and integrity that we're talking about today is, what can you do to make yourself a brand, to make yourself something that someone feels about, whatever that is? And I know, Ryan, you're really great at this. Do you have any, you know, insights for people?
Yeah, if you're trying to build your brand up, I think the most important thing is don't be boring. Put yourself into it and be genuine, obviously. It fits back to being genuine.
Yeah.
But another part is to pick your favorite part of yourself and be that thing.
Would that be your hair for you, Ryan? Be honest. It's your hair, isn't it? It
has I'd love to get a haircut now, but I can't because everyone's expecting me to have the mutt. Like, it looks like I put a helmet on and just cut it. But with a perspective for me, for example, I looked at last year and I remember saying, man, you know, I really like making people laugh and I like teaching lessons and I like trying to figure out some sort of combination of those things. So last year I spent a ton of time trying to make people entertained in the videos I do. I make fun of myself. I mess around with video effects. It's not ha-ha funny, but it's okay. The idea, though, is you get an idea of who my ethos is and what I am. Don't do that if that's not you. Like, be yourself. Don't just try and be something that you're not. If you're someone that is analytical and nose down kind of thinking about stuff, be that when you're making video content and when you're doing posts and stuff, and be that when you're talking to customers. And pick one of those things and commit to it, because it'll create consistency where people get familiar with you.
I love it, guys. So again, integrity, integrity, integrity in the sales process. If you are sending recontract, if you are double tapping, if you are trying to use objection techniques that turn people around, no one wants to be turned around. I mean, we're going to keep this G-rated. Please listen to these tips. Ryan, as always, man, pure gold, my friend, pure gold.
Thank you very much. By the way, I like your Sergeant Pepper background on the wall.
See what he's doing, guys? See, Ryan? Now, here's the thing. I want to talk about this. Ryan, see, this is a great example. You're genuinely curious. Curiosity, I just want to jam on this a little bit longer. We're going to go extended version, man. You can't fake curiosity. How do you become a more curious person? Because I think some people think, I know what they're thinking, I got to find something so that I can. Rather than just the curiosity being the end goal.
Yeah, I think you have to like people. Like people. If you don't like people, figure out why you don't like people and fix that, because you should like people. People are generally good. Until they do something bad, they're generally good. That's the way I kind of look at it. Don't be cynical. Don't assume people are conning you. Just assume everybody's friendly till they give you a reason not to be friendly.
And I would say you can always learn something from anybody. There's always something that I think curiosity is also huge. This idea, we mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but it's big. Like, how can you practice curiosity? The best way I know, I practice it all the time, is to strike up conversations in the mall or at the local coffee shop. Like, say to the barista, "How are you feeling today? What's going on with you? What are you doing after this?"
I get coffee every morning, and I ask the people I get coffee every day, like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I always ask them questions about, like, I'll even make a little joke when I give my card over to them or something sometimes.
I love it. And if someone answers, don't go to the next question. Like, stay in it for a while. That's something else I see a lot on discovery calls, where you can come across as that mall kiosk person. If someone feels they're being interrogated and you're kind of going from question to question, rather than exploring, you know, what do you mean? Another great thing that I do sometimes that I learned from Chris Voss of Never Split the Difference fame is I'll just repeat the last three words. If I want to practice this and I'm not exactly sure what to say, I don't have like a good thing and I need some time for my brain to buffer, I'll just repeat the last three words the person said, and you'll be surprised if you do this with your spouse. They'll just keep going because people love to be heard when there's someone that's really paying attention to them. There's endorphins, there's dopamine that's released. It feels good. So that's another technique you can use. Just repeat the last, you know, three words and build up your curiosity skills.
Yeah, build up your curiosity skills. You like awesome. That? Yeah, I just did it.
So you just did it.
To circle that back too, I know we're in bonus time now, but I was going to say, I remember when I worked, Kyle York, who's now working at Oracle, I remember we used to do calls for training and learning how to do sales and prospecting. And I'd ask a question to a prospect on a cold call and they'd answer it and then it'd be silent. And Kyle would go, and he'd give me the shh. You're in podcast world, so you can't see, but he's giving the shush. And they would you'd think that they were done and I'd be ready to ask another question. If you just sit there for a second and let it breathe, they'll go even deeper.
That is such a huge, I'm so glad you brought this up. Practice counting to two. Not in the sales world, like in your life. If you are with a significant other, a friend, let them give it 2 seconds. Count to yourself. You will be surprised, like I was when I started doing this technique. And I'm not great at it, guys. It's sometimes hard. I cut people off just like everybody does. But be aware of it and see if you can't practice your counting to two skills. Love it.
I'm going to try that too. I have a habit of cutting people off a lot, so I got to work on that too.
What'd you say? All right, guys, that was awesome. This was Ryan. Ryan, just a little plug. Ryan, by the way, as you know, is with Lead IQ. Ryan, if people want to learn more about Lead IQ, first off, I use Lead IQ. I recommend Lead IQ to all my customers for people that are looking to get the most accurate email addresses, to get the most accurate direct dials, to get the most accurate mobile numbers, and more importantly, who want to use software that actually is enjoyable to use, that's not clunky. I can't tell you the amount of times I've used software that just makes me anxious and not feel good. It just feels like you're getting in a nice car. Like it's just, everything's nice and orderly and the UI, and that matters when you're in a tool, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, like I know a lot of you are. So Ryan, if people want to learn more, I don't know, maybe you can hook them up with some leads. I don't know. What do you think?
Ooh, okay. So we actually have a page for Josh Broad, if you want. I have to reactivate the link because we moved to a new website. You can email me, ryan@leadiq.com, and I will hook you up and send you to the Josh Braun page. It's pretty badass.
Awesome, guys. And just as an FYI, I know I don't get any compensation from any of the tools that I recommend. I feel it's weird to me. So I happen to love Ryan, obviously, and believe in the tool, but I don't get any compensation for it. Just go check it out. Don't believe me. Go try it out for yourself. You guys have a good one. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thanks, Josh. See ya.